Revelation chapter 21 will begin at the first verse. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And that's where we'll stop the reading right there. We'll go back to verse 5. And this is what I'd like to preach on tonight, if the Lord will come by and help me for just a few minutes. In the middle of the verse, it says this, All things new. And we get tired down here, don't we? And this is the time of year. It was made mention earlier. People will make themselves promises and they'll try to turn over a new leaf and try to do better. And you may decide you want to make a resolution that you're going to exercise or that you're going to lose weight or you're going to go to church or whatever you decide. And inevitably, 99.9% of those promises we make ourselves don't come to fruition. They don't come to pass. And we'll say it's going to be a new year and a new me. You don't know what new is. When all things become new, when all things are new, what a day that will be. All things new. Now you pray for just a few minutes. And we have a hard time in this life. There's not a person under the sound of my voice that hasn't shed a tear. We all have. We've all faced heartache. We've all had sorrow. We've all lost loved ones. We've all had grief. We've all had drama. We've all had problems. We've all had sickness. We've all had to visit the hospital or the funeral home or the graveyard. That's life as we know it. But one day, all things will be new.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
All things new. So, Lord, help me for just a minute. All things new. And they sing a song, Ethan sings it every once in a while. I can only imagine. This is what the Bible says. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the good things the Lord has in store for them that love him. Those who are called according to his purpose. No, we can't. We can't even imagine how good it's going to be when all things are new.
Amen.
What are you talking about, preacher? Everybody has their idea of heaven and what it's going to be. And I've heard people try to bring mortal things into their concept of heaven, and
and say, well, I'll sit down with this one, or I'll work the garden with this one. Listen, all things are new.
That's right.
All former things are passed away.
Amen.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's not what I believe or advocate. That's not my opinion. The King James Version Bible says, all former things are passed away.
Amen.
Behold, I make all things new.
Amen.
Well, what are you talking about, preacher? Now, you pray for me for just a minute, if you don't mind. All things new. Well, let's start with this. I've got new clothes on today. Everything except my shoes. And this shirt that I have on today is brand new. Check in with me about a year from now. They'll no longer be new. Some of them will have threads hanging. Some of them will have holes in them. Some of them may have been ruined with bleach or stains or whatever. Or I'll gain weight or I'll lose weight and they won't fit the way they're supposed to anymore. Time will get the best of them. But when all things are new, I'll have a new garment to wear.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll have a white robe.
Amen. Yeah.
One that's, how do you know it's going to be white, preacher? Maybe you'd want a different color. No, I want a white one. You know why I want it to be white? Because I want it to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'll have a new garment, one that will never be threadbare, one that will always fit me, one that gives me freedom to move around, one that will never, time won't get the best of it, moths won't eat it. I'll have a new garment that I can wear, and I'll be proud to say I got it from my Father.
Yeah.
He paid for it. He made a way so that I could wear it. And more than that, you know what else is going to be new? I'll have a glorified body to put it on. That garment will be on a glorified body. I won't know diabetes. I won't know aches and pains. I won't have heart disease. There'll be no cancer. You won't have arthritis slowing you down. You'll have a glorified body. Well, preacher, when I get that, I'll be able to do this and that and the other. You know what you want to do for anything? The only thing to do when we get to glory is worship and praise God for having mercy and grace on wretches such as we are.
Amen.
Amen.
All things new. All things new. A body that won't wear out. A body that time won't reach, won't wreck with pain. A body that'll be likened unto, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, it don't matter what it looks like. All that matters is it's like him, and that's all that's going to make any difference at all. I just want to be like him. I want to be in his image and his likeness. Now listen, preacher, that'll be wonderful when we get to heaven. What's stopping us from being like him right now?
Amen.
I realize we're in this flesh. I realize it gets in the way, but I hope that I live alive so that you can know and realize I belong to Jesus. I'm one of God's little children, and I'm on my way where all things are new.
Amen.
Pray on for just a minute. How do you know about that place? John 14. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A place where all things are new.
Amen.
Sometimes we get excited, we get to travel a little bit or vacate or whatever, and you get to see new parts of the world, things. And I've driven down many times to the beach and places like that. And when you get to those bridges, there's something about those bridges, and they're so long, and you cross those bridges and you can look out over the blue water and the oceans, and it's just a view that we don't see here in East Tennessee, and there's something about that that I like. But I'm here to tell you, one day I'll get a view of a place where all things are new. It'll not be just a glimpse. I'll set my eyes on a new country one day. Amen. Not because I deserve it, not because I paid to be there, but I got invited when I was a little 8-year-old boy. Yeah. There was a voice spoke down inside of me and gave me an invitation to come to a place where all things are new. Place where all things are new. We'll have a new garment. We'll have a glorified body. We'll have a new home. A new home. My wife and I have been married 34 years, I believe, something like that. 33, we've moved twice. And the last time I moved, I told her I would not be moving again. I just don't like moving. I don't like having to gather all that stuff up and find a place to put it, pack it up, and move. We moved 1.25 miles. That's how far we moved. And I said, I won't be moving again. But my next move,
yes,
I won't mind at all. All that stuff I worried about packing, I'll leave right here.
Amen.
I won't need it.
Amen.
My new home's got everything,
yes,
that I need.
Amen.
How do you know, preacher? Because he said he'd supply my every need. My new home, I moved into that house over there. Do you know what I've had to do? I've had to fix things over the years. Maybe drywall got a hole in it, or a light bulb blowed out. There's always something to fix in wherever you live. But in that new home, everything will be perfect. In that new home, listen, and I'm going to preach this too. You know what? That new home is available. We talk about housing and things like that. There's room enough for everybody in our new home. The sad part of it is everybody won't be there. There's an invitation. I told you he gave me an invitation. He's given one to you too. He's given an invitation out to all that's ever breathed a breath, that ever had a heartbeat. He's given an invitation to all. And the sad part of it is people have rejected his invitation and turned him away. And listen, I've got family, I've got friends, I've got loved ones that have turned him away and said, I've got more important things to do. I don't want anything to do with that. I want them to go. I want them to be with me for eternity. But if they don't go, it's not going to hold me back. It's not going to stop me. I'm going to move one day into my new home. All things new.
Amen. Yes.
While I'm talking about moving, we used to live, as you go into Newport, and Marty, you're familiar with this place. Just as you go into Newport, just past the tobacco warehouse on the left, there's a little two-story apartment.
Right.
And from birth to about 4 or 5 years old, the Stranges lived in one of those apartments. But then Dad decided that he and Mom needed to build a house. And when it was finished and everything was ready, he decided we would move from that little apartment up there, up the road, over here to where the new home was, to where it was built. And I was a little 4 or 5 year old boy, and I was excited.
Yeah.
'Cause the new home was going to have a bathtub in it. And I was going to get to take a bath. When moving time comes, and my father says, "It's time to move. Come on to your new home." I'm going to be excited.
Amen.
I'm going to be ready to go.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to get there. I'm looking forward to my new home one day after a while. My new garment. Oh, my new body. Oh, my family is going to get to be there. You know who moved to this house right over here? The Strange family. You know who's moving to that home up there? God family.
Yeah,
let me just say this. I think there are folks that get it in their head that they're the only ones going.
That's right.
And there's a lot of folks going from Dutch Falls. Don't misunderstand me. But the Bible said John saw a number no man could number.
Amen.
So that means there's more Dutch Bottoms going.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
There's more than just Baptists going.
Amen.
There's more than just Church of God or Presbyterian or you name it. There's a number no man can number. And when we go, all things will be new. Let me just preach this. There'll be some new things we've never seen before.
That's right.
When we get to the gate, the Bible says there are 12 gates, 3 on each side, and the gates are of one pearl. Now, I've seen these women. Mom used to have some. Tammy's got some. They'll wear pearl necklaces, but the pearls are just little bitty things, less than the size of the end of my finger.
Yeah.
Think about a pearl that's big enough to be a gate. But when we get there, you know what they do with gates? They close them. And the reason they close them is to keep people out. The gates, you want to see something new? The gate to that city will be open.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
You want to see something else new? Something no man has ever seen, no man has ever laid eyes on? Moses wanted to see it one time, and he was told no, wouldn't he? He said, "Let me see you, God." And God said, "No man has ever seen my face and lived." And so Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock, and God put his hand. Oh, I know Moses didn't get his request, did he? He didn't get to see God's face. But I'm glad. Oh, Moses got in the cleft of the rock, and the whole time he was there, God had his hand on him.
That's right.
Oh, and as God walked by, as God passed by, Moses got to see his hinder parts, and just that When Moses came down off the mount, the children of Israel couldn't even look on Moses, much less God. But when we get to that new city where all things are new, oh, John said, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. When we get to that new city, we'll have a new view. Oh, you know what we get to see? Only. It's exclusive. Did you know that? It's not common. It's not something all humanity will get to see. Well, I want to see Jesus, preacher. And you will. Lost, saved, saint, sinner, you will. Every eye shall behold him, even the one that pierced him in the side. But you know what the Bible says about God? Only the pure in heart shall see God. I'm not interested. Now, I preach to you about the gate, the pearl. We'll see the streets. I've never seen a street made out of gold. It'll be there that day. Do. Never had a foot to sit on it. It'll be brand new. Oh, the walls will be jasper. But what I want to see, I want to see God, don't you? I believe we won't pay a lick of attention to the gate. We won't pay a lick of attention to the street. I believe we'll run to worship and praise God for this new home that is made just for his children. All things new. A new place that's not marred by sin. A new place with no graveyards, with no hospitals. A new place with no tears, because God said he'd wipe them all away.
That's right.
What about a place with no... Have you ever been to a place where there was no one sad? Ever been to a place where there was never any heartache? Last year, I went down on the third Saturday in October. There was 100,000 people that were screaming, smiling, and happy. This year, on the third Saturday of October, those same 100,000 people were sad. Some of them probably shed tears. But all that day, when we get to that place where all things are new, there will not be one tear. It's a place where every... What does that song say? Everybody will be happy over there. I've met people along life's way that you couldn't make them happy. You give them what they want, they'd still complain. They'd find fault with it. They were just miserable, no matter what happened along life's way. I'm talking about a new place where everybody will be happy.
Amen.
Let me just get this.
Bless you.
Preacher, when I get there, I want... It really doesn't matter what you want. It's what God wants.
That's right.
And if he wants it, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's right. We live in a world where people just can't get themselves out of the way. They can't see past their hurt. They can't see past their heartache. They can't see that God can use them and their situation to be a blessing to somebody else. And it's hard at the time, ain't it? When it's you, it's hard at the time. And here's what the Bible has to say about that. Weeping may endure for a night. Is that where the verse ends?
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. In that new home where all things are new, it's all joy. It's all peace. There'll be no drama.
Right.
There'll be no anger.
No.
There'll be no confusion. Is that right now?
Amen.
You remember your Bible? God is not. We talk about what God is. God is love. And that country will be full of love.
Amen.
The Bible also tells you what God is not. God is not the author of confusion. Now, can you finish the verse? But peace as is in some of our churches. Now, that might be the exact wording, but that's pretty close. You know what's going to be in that new home? Peace. Peace. Oh, I like to sing that song, don't you? Peace, peace. Wonderful peace. I like that song that you sing every once in a while. What a day that will be.
Amen.
When my Jesus I see, when I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand. You know what we like to do? And I think Jason's building a new house over at your property. You know what he'll do whenever he gets done and somebody comes over? He'll say, come on and let me show you our house. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to say, come on.
Amen.
Let me show you your new home.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, well, preacher, I'm looking forward to my mansion. You show me in the Bible where it says you're entitled to one. I don't read that. It does say, it says there are many mansions. It does not say I'm entitled to one. I don't care. It is irrelevant. All I want to do and the whole purpose of me or you being there is to worship the Lord for eternity.
Amen.
And you know what's going to allow me to do that? A glorified body that will never get tired. Remember what the Bible said would be on the last day? It said the angel would set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and declare that time shall be no more. You know what it's going to be like in our new home? I can throw this wristwatch away. I can throw the clock on the wall away. And anything that is related to time will be obsolete and outdated. We won't need it there. Why? Because there'll be no sun to shine. In that place where all things are new, this is what it's going to be. Jesus himself will be the light of that city.
Amen.
There'll be no night. There'll be no darkness. This world is full of it. It's full of doubt. It's full of anger. There'll be no night in that place where all things are new. We went. Not this past Sunday, but the one before. Y'all know my youngest son is stationed in Alaska. We went in June, at the end of June, 1st of July, up there and saw him. And I went to bed at 10 o'clock, and I got up, woke up, got up and had to go to the restroom. I could see around the blinds on the window, and the sun was shining. I thought it must be 6, 7 o'clock, and it was 2 in the morning. Because that time of the year, they don't get any darkness. It just gets kind of like we get here around dusk, and then it just brightens back up in the morning. Where we're going, the sun is always going to shine.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Will not, time shall be no more. There'll be no such thing as that. It'll be one glorious day.
Amen.
Forever and ever and ever. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Friend, we're going to a place where all things are new. You see, let me just read this again to you right here. Verse 4, the last phrase, for the former things are passed away. And in verse 5, he said, behold, I make all things new. If there was something there from this life, and we could remember something from this life, then we could also remember those things that weren't there.
Yeah.
So all former things. Now, I hope nobody gets offended. And if you differ with me on this, I'm not going to fall out with you.
Yeah.
I love you. I want to take your hand and go to that new home.
Amen.
Together. Mm-hmm. I got something else to say on that in just a minute, but let me just get this. People say, well, I want to see, for example, my dad passed away 3 years ago. I want to see my dad when I get there. I want to see my mom. All former things are passed away.
Amen.
Behold, all things are new. Well, the Bible says, preacher, we shall be known as we are known. God doesn't know me as Mike Strange. You know what he knows me as? His little child.
Amen.
That's all I ever need to be anyway, is God's little child. That's all that matters. Did you know that? All friend. All former things shall pass away. Behold, all things new. Here's something else you will see that's new, that's never been seen. We read about Moses and Aaron and the tabernacle. We read about how the little church prayed at John Mark's house for Peter when he was in jail. We read about the day of Pentecost when the power of God fell and men spoke and people heard the gospel in their own language, devout men from every nation. Different instances in the Bible that talk about the church. All things new. For the first time, when Jesus steps out on the clouds and he calls us up, he says, you've been faithful over a few things. And we like that phrase, don't we? We like that part of the scripture. It says, you've been faithful over a few things. Well, let's take for just a minute what's not being said. If we've been faithful over a few things, and I know there are folks that think that they are going to make it and they're going to be all right and they should be the first ones on the cloud. Let me preach you this. If he said you've been faithful over a few things, that means I've been unfaithful in many. In other words, by the grace of God, I'm going to make it and nothing else.
Lord.
Now, some of you may not like that. But none of us are perfect. How do you know? All have sinned and come short.
Amen.
That's me and that's you. For the first time, you're going to see something new that Moses never saw. You're going to see something new that the disciples never saw. And wouldn't it have been wonderful to be there on the day of Pentecost? But even the folks, the apostles, and I believe it was the 3,000 that got saved on the day of Pentecost, for the first time, you're going to see something new that even the crowd that was there on the day of Pentecost never saw. You know what? You're going to get to see for the first time something brand new. You're going to see all the church, all of God's children. John got to see it. He's the only one I read about that has caught a vision of it. But one day, as ignorant as I am, as many times as I failed God and come short in seeing from His glory, and one day when we all get there, we'll see the whole church. It'll be complete. It's not complete yet because He's still waiting for that last little block, that last little brick, that last stone to be placed. What are you talking about, preacher? He said, I give you a new name and a little white stone, and I write about your name and that stone, and I know it and you know it. Oh, you read that because I didn't quote it right. But in other words, you don't know what the Lord's name is for me, and I don't know yours, but I know when He calls mine, I'm going to answer. And just imagine, it won't be a big wrong scroll. He won't read them one by one. But everybody, when He calls, will hear their name, and the whole church will go home to that new home together. Oh, what would it be like, preacher? Well, it won't be a quiet, let's say, number 263, and everybody sits still. I believe we'll be shouting all the way to glory.
Amen.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
You've got 3 minutes. About 6 weeks ago, for the first time in 10 years, all three of my boys and their wives and my grandchild were in my house. All home. Now, my oldest one, in the process of moving back to North Dakota. My baby is in Alaska. But for the first time in 10, and they had been in and out, all three of them at one time or another, but for the first time in 10 years, they all were there together at the same time. And it was special.
Amen.
And it meant a lot to me. And I can't wait till it happens again. For the first time, something brand new, you're going to see all of God's children make it home.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
It just blows my mind to think. Now, I know we got to get together with Ray's Chapel and have Thanksgiving service. We get together with them every once in a while. But I know folks over at Rankin, I know folks over at Thankful in Morristown and up at Del Rio, at Round Mountain in different churches, folks from up at Centerview and up in town, folks at Centerview over here on 160 in different churches, and folks that we've worshiped with over in Granger County, different places over the years. Some of them I had seen in years. Some have done gone on and outstripped me. But when we all make it home, what a new sight that'll be. It'll just be all God's family, all with smiles on their faces, all just glad to give to that new home. All in their new garments. All with new bodies. We live in an era. If it's me and mine and nobody else, I deserve it. What did I preach to you this morning? We're all unworthy.
Amen.
All those new things, and we're all unworthy.
Mm-hmm. Here's what it is. I'm just going to be glad to be there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Don't deserve it. I'm just going to be glad that I get to be there.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, all because of you.
All things new. Preacher, I'd like to go there. How do I get there? Through Jesus. All you have to do is ask for it. It's that simple. Your place in that new home, that new glorified body, that new garment has already been paid for. All you've got to do is ask for it. Who do I ask, preacher? Do I ask you? No, I can't give it to you. But I know a man who can.
Amen.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. He paid it for you. And he wants to give it to you. It's that simple. That's all you got to do. Ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
Let me just say this.
Bless you.
And I want you to listen carefully. If you've not heard a single thing I've said tonight, hear this next part. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But to get there, you have to ask.
Amen.
You have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do to get there. You have to ask Jesus to save your soul. This is Bible. Don't take it as my opinion. Jesus told a churchgoer, ye must be born again.
Yeah.
To get to heaven, that spiritual part of you on the inside has to surrender to him. You have to want it more than anything. I'm going to tell this, and I hope Jerry don't mind. Remember the night Jerry got saved? She come down and we prayed, and she just wasn't sure. And I'm the world's worst at this. I don't ever know what to say or what to tell people. So this is what my advice to her. I said, you've got to want it with everything that you've got in you. More than anything, you've got to want it. If you really want to be saved, there's not enough devils in hell can keep you from it. If you really want to escape hell, Satan can't do a single thing about it. He can try to distract you. He can run thoughts through your mind. But if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be saved, ask and you shall receive. Aren't you glad for the day you asked? Oh, the best move I ever made was when Jesus saved my soul.
Yeah.
But I got a ticket to go to that place where all things are new.
Yeah.
All right. Come on, Grady.